Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Well, we have a great show lined up for you today. It's all about creating change, coping with change, and realizing your potential. So I want to ask you a question to kick off, and that is, what vision or dream do you want to make reality? Well, listen up to both of my guests today, and maybe you can make that happen. Not maybe, you will be able to make that happen. Coming later in the hour, I'm talking with a dynamic speaker and change agent who's really examined what it takes to prompt us to make those changes we talk about and fulfill the dreams and visions that we have. Patty Dobrovolsky, the founder of Up Your Creative Genius and the author of Drawing Solutions, will join me in the studio in about 20 minutes' time. But first, I'm very pleased to welcome someone who doesn't just talk the talk. She has walked the walk for more than 30 years on the executive front line, revealing myths and honing truths about what it takes to make a successful leader. And we'll share some of those commonalities in just a moment. My guest is Roxana Bahar-Hewitson. She's the CEO of Highland Group Consulting, based in upstate New York. As an expert in organizational development, behavior, effectiveness, and human resources management, her passion lies in empowering leaders to boost their performance and career goals. She also teaches the subject at Cornell University and is known for her trademark of leading with impact, your ripple effect. Roxana Bahar-Hewitson, welcome.
Hi, Vicki. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
And we're glad you're not on the coast of New York today. And we're glad you're upstate and hopefully safely tucked away.
Yes, I'm safely tucked away in my office. As I'm looking out my window, though, there are very, very strong winds coming through. So I think we're going to get some of this no matter where we are.
Yeah.
On the east.
Yeah, it does sound like it from the weather forecast. But you're here today to talk about leadership. You have made a lifelong study of leadership. You've got five commonalities, five great things that leaders do. And before we start talking about those, let's just learn a little bit more about your background and where you started and how you became fascinated in leadership.
Well, I was at Cornell for 27 years, Vicki, and in the business side of the house. Before I started teaching. And what was very clear is that in order to have a healthy culture and a productive workforce, the leaders really were the drivers of that. They set the tone and they create, when one is in a leadership role, it really creates the environment in which everyone works and interacts with one another. So I was in a fairly traditional part of the university in the auxiliary services side of the house with about 2,000 employees, and we had a lot of unions and we had a lot of old school thinking. And what was very clear is that if we wanted to have better customer service and have better turnover rates and healthier employees, we were going to have to change the culture. So I got very involved in culture change and in leadership development about 1993. And the difference that it made to help leaders learn the skills that they needed to be successful and to interact well with their employees and to boost productivity can be learned.
Yeah.
And it is a discipline. And when I began to understand how different it is to lead than to be an individual contributor, it became more and more my passion.
Yeah, and I'm fascinated by leadership. I was telling you before the break, you know, I've studied it for many years myself, but it doesn't just apply in the workplace. It applies to how you show up every day at home, you know, in recreational situations, whether you're leading the Boy Scouts or running a household, or whether you're on the executive front line. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I just did a TED Talk down in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and that was one of the cornerstones of my conversation, is how wide the ripple effect is went from leaders, and whether it's at home or at work or in the community, it doesn't matter. How you behave with others when you have authority over others makes an enormous difference.
Yeah, and you're known for this ripple effect, your ripple effect. So talk to us a little bit about that, and then I want to get into the five commonalities. You say the best way to model leadership, of course, or teacher leadership, of course, is to model it. You know, we're taught as very young kids, if you're the eldest, you're always be the role model, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's true. You know, there's such a simple thing that it's almost silly to say it, but you need to reward what you want and not reward what you don't want. And I tell leaders this all the time, and it's almost like a light bulb going off sometimes. People have trouble articulating their expectations, I think, and then holding people accountable to them, and then they get themselves in all kinds of trouble. And part of that is because they really don't understand their impact.
Right, right. So let's look at some of the commonalities that you've put together over the years. Five things that great leaders do. And of course, number one, I think, has to be the amount of emotional self-awareness that we have ourselves and that we're demonstrating. So tell us why that's so important and how it affects people in that ripple effect.
Well, one of the things that I've discovered over the years is really the power of emotional intelligence. And without understanding yourself and understanding how you are reacting to something, what's pushing your buttons, what makes you passionate and excited as a leader, if you don't know that about yourself, if you're not aware, you're just kind of going through life and doing whatever is on your plate at the moment, then you can't be very well aware of others. So it really is the cornerstone to be self-aware, to understand. And that's why we, when we work with leaders, the very first thing we do is help them assess what their preferences are and how they're being perceived by those they lead and by their peers and by their leader, their own supervisor or boss or whatever.
And I don't know if you found this, but there are many people that I've worked with who are really unaware, and I've been guilty of this myself, who are really unaware of the perception that others have of them. You know, somebody might be like super busy and think they're being super efficient and being perceived as being standoffish. Or somebody might think they're being super friendly and they might be seeing as, you know, being too involved.
Yes. But, you know, one of the things that people score the lowest on, there are two, on almost every 360 feedback instrument I've done, is asking others for feedback. And the second one is deals well with conflict. So the asking others for feedback is really the place where you begin to understand how you're perceived by others. And if you don't know that, you don't know whether your impact is what you intended or not. And it's just really important to find that out.
Right, right. Now, a lot of people, when they're in a leadership role, think they can't admit they don't know the situation. And this usually, I find, happens with people who are new to leadership. They think they have to know everything or they want to be perceived as knowing everything. But a really great leader says, you know what? I don't have the answer to that. Let's find someone who does, right?
You're exactly right. I actually wrote an article about that recently, so I'm glad you brought it up. I had a boss once who used to make up answers.
I've had a boss like that, too.
you know, I think maybe a lot of us have. Make up answers because for some reason or other, he thought it was a weakness to say he didn't know. And the opposite is true. It's so incredible to me why people would make up answers rather than say, I don't know the answer, but I'll either find an expert who does or I will get it for you one way or another. What that says is that I'm not all hung up on my own ego, and it also is telling the truth.
Yes, yeah, and a smart leader always wants a team of people who are smarter than them. you know, in the areas where you're weak, you want really smart, strong people.
Yeah, I'll give you a good example of that.
Yeah.
One of the responsibilities, I wore two hats when I was at Cornell throughout my career. One was the human capital or human resource hat, and the other was the financial hat, which is an odd combination, but it was fun to do. And so I ran a $250 million budget, and I'm not a number cruncher. That's just not my strength. So I absolutely hired and loved my number crunching experts. They were fantastic at what they did. I could see the big picture, and they could drill down, and it was a marriage made in heaven. So we did a good job together.
So talk to us a little bit about the difference between confidence and arrogance, because a good leader has to have, you know, good sense of self, confidence in their abilities, confidence that they're capable of making good decisions, even if they're not sure of the outcome. But that can very quickly veer off to arrogance if we're not careful.
That's absolutely right. And I think arrogance comes from two main places. One is fear, and the other one is a sense of entitlement. Neither one really work very well in leadership. So understanding, you know, what you do well and understanding what you're not strong in is really important, and not trying to be somebody you're not. It's, you know, there's a whole authenticity piece to this, too. Leaders who are authentic do well because people would like to be around them and like to work with them. People who are arrogant, it isn't fun, and you're not going to get the best out of your people, for sure.
Right, right. We've done whole shows on optimism, the importance of being optimistic and changing your perspective, changing the way you look at things. But people, when they're looking up to a leader, whether it's, you know, your mom or your dad or your Girl Scout leader or your boss at work, we don't want to look up to somebody, and we probably won't look up to somebody who's being negative. So why is it so important that a good leader does see the upside?
Well, you know, there isn't a leader alive today that isn't going through a lot of change. I mean, we're in a very fast change society, and I guess you're going to have a guest talking about that soon. So it's a perfect segue to that.
Right.
If you're leading change, and you run around going, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, it scares people, and it certainly doesn't build confidence in your leadership. Now, that doesn't mean you're not realistic, and it doesn't mean you're not telling the truth. What it does mean, though, is that good leaders, great leaders, help their people navigate through the change and navigate through adversity, because there is light at the other end of the tunnel in most cases. And even if it's a real serious problem, like a company has to close or there are layoffs or whatever, the way that they do that, they can do that from an optimistic point and helping people get other jobs or helping people see what could be positive. I'm not asking people to rose-colored glasses. What I am saying, though, is attitude does matter. It matters a lot, because people look to the leader for that and take their cues and cues from what the leader is saying and how they're saying it and their tone and attitude.
Yeah, and that's a key point, because employees and kids, whoever you're dealing with, they do sense genuineness versus insincerity. So we have to say that coming from a very sincere place, yeah.
Absolutely. People can smell a phony 3 miles away.
Yeah.
And when it's leadership, it's really, really devastating and destructive.
Yes, absolutely. Win-win. Something that is very easy to talk about, not always so easy to achieve. How do we go about setting a win-win tone in our home, in our office?
Well, you know, everyone has their own motivators. So if you're paying attention, you have empathy, which is really key. It's almost as important as self-awareness. When a great leader has empathy for other people, they understand what motivates them. And if they're not sure, they ask. You know, sometimes it amazes me how few questions leaders ask. But they should be asking more and talking less or stating their opinion less. When they do that and they understand how someone is being motivated, they can create win-wins, especially during a change process. One of the things I really advocate for leaders is to pull change rather than push it, which helps bring people into the process and engage them and creates a lot more buy-in, as opposed to you know, shoving my change process and my ideas down the throats of everybody else.
Right.
It just doesn't work. Oh, way over 70% of the change processes or change projects in this country fail.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Just huge.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Well, we're right at the end of our segment, but I want to ask you very quickly, what if you also list five things that failing leaders do? And one of, I think, the biggest faux pas that people can do is to blame others for outcomes, especially when you're in a team event. You know, nobody wants to be made the scapegoat for something. So talk to us a little bit about why that is so detrimental.
Well, the leader is ultimately responsible for the outcomes of his or her team. And so it doesn't really cost the leader anything to take on the responsibility, because clearly something on their watch didn't go well. And that doesn't, that it, it, it's just absolutely pointless to humiliate or to blame or to judge other people. Jim Collins in his book says, when things are going right, look out the window, and when things are going wrong, look in the mirror. And I think that's just a great way to sum that up.
That's a perfect...
That's what leaders need to do. They need to have big shoulders if they want to be in a leadership role. Understand what happened. It's not that you don't hold people accountable, but you certainly don't publicly berate them or blame them. You talk through what happened and figure out how you can learn from your mistakes. That's the other side of it, too, is when things go wrong, there's learning to be had. And if you blame others, they'll stop telling you when they make mistakes.
No,
and,
absolutely.
Boy, that's a bad idea.
Absolutely.
So we want people to tell us what's going on. We want them to tell us what's going right, what's going wrong, and so that we can learn from those mistakes and get better.
Yeah, keep those lines of communication open. Roxana Bahar-Hewitson, thank you for joining us today. Listeners can find out more about Roxy at HighlandConsultingGroupInc.com. HighlandConsultingGroupInc.com. Thanks, Roxy.
Thank you, Vicki. It was fun talking with you.
And please do stay with us. We'll be right back with Patty Dobrovolsky, and we'll be talking about drawing solutions. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Nails Healing Ministry, we cover the world of animals. This week, it's Behavior Training and Healing Sunday with me. We'll have open phone lines to answer all your questions about your animal friends, plus special guests in the studio, Janine Fiorito, owner of Discreet Green, and her bedbug-sniffing dog, Princess Leia. We'll have fun searching for bedbugs and learn all about this unique business. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
The words breast cancer can create a lightning bolt of fear and confusion. Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, the Mayo Clinic's Dr. Lynn Hartman helps us to navigate important issues. Vicki will also talk with Seattle writer Diane Mapes about what she calls her madcap adventure with breast cancer, and what it's like to date following a double mastectomy. Tune in next week at noon Pacific. See conversationslive.net for more information.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Ahead of the talk radio curve, naturally. Alternative Talk 1150.
It's too fast to take that test. Change it.
Turn and face the strain.
Change it.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Well, I'm pleased to have Patty Dobrovolsky in the studio with me. She's right here in Seattle and so came into the studio, which is great. She's a nationally acclaimed comic, actor, high-performance business consultant, speaker, and the author of Drawing Solutions, How Visual Goal Setting Will Change Your Life. She consults one-on-one with individuals to help them unleash their creative genius and also works with teams at leading Fortune 500 companies, including Microsoft, PepsiCo, and FedEx. She helps them create more effective workplace strategies. She received her master's degree in psychology with an emphasis in drama and is currently a member of the National Speakers Association. She was a TEDx Rainier speaker in 2011 and won the Woman of Achievement Award from the Association of Women in Communications in 2004 and was also a recipient of the Make Mine a Million Dollar Business Award in 2008. Welcome to the show, Patty Dobrovolsky. I have to say your name slow.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me here today. I just am so, so happy to be here.
Well, we're pleased to have you here. And I think this is such a fun thing that you're doing right now. And, you know, we've talked a lot about mind mapping. We've talked a lot about neuroscience, how the brain works. And you've kind of put all of this together in a very visual way that I really, really like. But before we get there, let's hear a little bit more of your background because it's very interesting. You start your book off. You're sitting in a garden, realizing, hey, I'm not going to make it as a gardener here. But you were a comic actor.
Yes.
So how did this all come about for you?
Well, I was an actor here in Seattle many years ago, and I had an experience where I held a picture in my mind of myself on Broadway just briefly. And as a result, that actually came to be. And so it set me on this path of trying to explore really how do visuals help us to create the world that we want. And so, you know, in the story that you're referring to, I actually had an artistic break and I couldn't perform anymore. I didn't know why. And so I ended up gardening to make a living, and that wasn't going to work for me. So I began to do what I call spinning the universe, mm-hmm. and just to create the new world that I wanted. And I wanted to make sure that it was filled with the kind of things that I wanted to have in my life now, not filled with the things from my past, because I didn't know if I wasn't an actor, who was I going to be? So I needed to spin something new. And in my book, that's what I talk about, how you right. can spin your own world.
Right. You went into drama therapy. Tell me a little bit about what a drama therapist does.
Well, a drama therapist actually uses drama techniques to help you really role play your life. So you're practicing for real life. And so I love that because I think we're always in a constant state of going into situations where we don't know how we're going to respond. You know, a woman sitting outside in the lobby was nervous about being on the air. She said, I've spoken to millions of people face to face, but being on the air. And I said to her, you know, just remember, envision that it's already happened and let yourself pull yourself into that experience. And that's part of it. So in a way, if you envision yourself doing that thing at your best,
right,
then that's what you begin to create versus, you know, we think, oh, you know, we get caught up in the worry about you know, what's going to happen. And the worry actually spins our reality for that,
yeah.
for our fear. So then we surround ourselves with more fear and it sort of is like turning up the volume on it.
Yeah.
You want to turn the volume up in your brain, not on what your amygdala, you know, is afraid of, right? That sends the cortisol, but on the things that are going to bring you into the best light, the best life.
How lucky was she to run into you? I mean, she could have run into someone else who said, well, I'm really scared too, and just stirred up that fear there. So let's talk a little bit about the book, Drawing Solutions, because this is your work. It's a distillation of all of your work. How did you start working with companies and developing this visual mind map?
Well, one thing that happened was, you know, you said you were a drama therapist. Well, I always say I was a really bad therapist. I would say to people, you know, you have a drinking problem. Go to AA. I'd say, you know, that guy is bad for you. Leave him. You know, so I didn't have the kind of empathy that you wanted. And somebody said to me, you know, you'd be fantastic in business because they love it when you tell them what to do in business. So I went into doing family business consulting, and then I started to do change management. And in a meeting, I saw a guy get to the front of the room and draw a picture of what we were talking about, where this company wanted to be. And I thought, I got to do that, because that's going to bring my old world of holding the inner picture together with the outward manifestation of it. So I started to draw. I went to Denver, started a company doing that, taught myself how to draw because I didn't really know how. So it took about 12 years till I got really good. And then just one thing led to another, where those visuals began to be seen by companies, and then they would bring us back again and again. And now you see most companies use some kind of what they call a graphic recorder or a strategic illustrator to create their vision, because they know the power of visuals and what it does with your brain.
Mm. I was actually at a meeting, I think it was in August. It was a meeting I'd never been to before, a network group. And at the end of it, the guy who was running it said, you know, most people take minutes, but he'd been in another meeting where somebody had recorded the minutes in visuals. And I bet she had taken your class or read your book, because it was just like you do in your book.
Yes. And the book, you know, there are many people that are doing it now, thankfully, because, you know, 80% of people are visual learners. But what's true also about your brain is that it processes things in an image, whether you get that picture through sound or whether you get it through seeing a visual. So part of what happens in this book is that I'm trying to help you use a simple picture, whether you can draw or not, to create the world that you want by looking at where you are, envisioning where you want to be a year from today, and then doing the three boldest steps that can get you there. And that's the centerpiece that gets you sort of across the chasm, which is, I always consider that the chasm of your fear that you have to get through.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're going to talk about a little bit more about why this works, because I think that's really fascinating. And some of the steps that you talk about in the book. And we're going to take a very quick break. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest is Patty Dobrovolsky. She's author, speaker, change agent of Drawing Solutions, How Visual Goal Setting Will Change Your Life. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
Hi, I'm Charlize Theron with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Almost all the puppies for sale at your local mall were churned out by breeding facilities called puppy mills.
Constant confinement drives the dogs mad. They are impregnated continually until they can no longer produce a litter.
If you choose a dog from the mall, a dog you could have saved from the pound will die.
Contact PETA to learn how you can make a difference at 757-622-PETA. Or visit PETA.org.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair.
Time for something different. Time for Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Well, we are talking about change, coping with change, creating the reality that you want. And my guest is author, speaker, and change agent. She's got a great new book called Drawing Solutions, How Visual Goal Setting Will Change Your Life. Her name is Patty Dobrovolsky, and she is based here in Seattle. And so we're going to talk in this segment about how we start putting one of these maps together. But let's just look first of all about why it's important, or why it's significant for the brain that we use visuals and words. Because I think most people are familiar with dream boards, which this is not. Most people are familiar with mind mapping, where we write everything out in kind of a schematic format. But in this one, you use words and visuals. So why is that so important?
Well, the one thing to note is that the mind is a pattern-making machine. And so when we generally go to do goal setting, we traditionally go to the things that we already know. And so those things are housed in the left side of our brain. And so we kind of pull those up and we go, yes, I need to do this again or that again or more of this. And what the drawing piece does is it actually activates the right side of your brain, which houses that piece of you that is connected to everything and everyone, that knows that everything is possible. So any time that you're looking for a solution, you want to think about drawing just a simple picture. You don't need to know how to draw. You just need to do that piece of scribbling and what Sonny Brown would call doodling, because that will activate the right side and it opens the window of more possibility for you. So that's the first piece. And then the reason you want to have a picture is because, you know, look at all the data that we get bombarded with daily. So it's crazy for us to assume that if we set a goal in January, we're going to even remember that in February if we haven't done something to keep it on the front burner of our prefrontal cortex, which decides every day what we should do.
Right.
So a picture does that.
Right. I also read that in your book that it's something called the pictorial superiority effect, which the words and the pictures together help us recall that.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So the snapshot technique communicates directly with the parts of the brain that have images and patterns. And so why do we want to get this down on paper like this?
Well, one thing that it does is when you capture your current state and you do it in words and pictures, you'll surprise yourself by the things that show up the most there on the left side of that picture. If you can imagine, I say left side because I always think left and right. Current is on the left and desired new reality on the right, just because that's how this template works. But then you look at the left side and then there's this new even brain science that's just coming out right now where you actually close your eyes to dream that right side of your map and you let your imagination spin whatever it is that you want to see there 1 year from today without any kind of left brain activity. Like your left brain always says, oh, that'll never happen, or you can't do that, or you've tried that before. But if you can get that to sit down, and I always say the way to do that, and I talk about that in my TEDx Rainier talk, Draw Your Future. So if you want to see this, I do a very fast rendition of this there. But you spin this right side, let go of that left side of your brain, and then start to draw as quickly as you can whatever you get. And you begin to tap in both your imagination, but also your intuition. It feeds that when you close your eyes. Now you've got data, current state data, new desired reality data. And if you look at both of them, shut your eyes briefly, then your brain can restructure it to show you what do you need to do to get from here to here.
Yeah, the very clear gap there. Because a lot of people say, don't bother about where you are currently, just focus on the future. But I think that's a key thing in your work is looking at our current state. And that gives you the gap between where we are now and where we want to be.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I learned from Dan Rome in his book, Back of the Napkin. He talked a lot about how important it was, the patterns that show up. And there's so much data in the pattern that you look at when you look at the left side of your map. Like, I'm looking at Vicky's map upside down right now because she drew hers once she got the book.
You can look at it the right way up.
The very cool thing is, you know, her left side of her map is filled with all of the stuff that's going on. And it's got some keywords in here for things that she's going to want more of, but also things that she needs to let go of that might be from her past, and it might be stuff that is just subconscious stuff, you know, that you'll need to kind of work with to wipe away. And then on the right side, very bright. And what's interesting about her map is it's really clear. Like the drawing's really fantastic on the right side. On the left side, it looks like, ew, P.U., who wants to live there, right? There's like this huge rain cloud over some parts of it, right?
Yeah. Well, so, that's kind of where I've been at. You know, yeah. I lost my mom. And so there has been this little storm cloud over. And yeah.
Yeah, and I think this is so true. There are parts of our world that we want to leave behind. And, you know, the only way we leave them behind, of course, is to integrate through them. And so we do this by looking at all the data, and it helps us process it. We go, yeah, God, no wonder I feel like I've been hit by a bus, right? And then we can say, okay, that's where I am. Now I'm going to look at this dream life, and then I'm going to see how can I get there from here. And there's a great book out called, can't remember. Never mind, come back to it.
You've got a whole list of them at the back of your book.
I do.
You've got great resources.
Thank you.
While you think on that, hold that thought, because I want to let listeners know if they want to get a download of the template that we're talking about, you have it on your site. You sign up
yes.
for your newsletter and...
Yeah, you can download this template I'm referring to for free at upyourcreativegenius.com. So just go there. And then also you can get this book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble online, but you can also go into a bookstore if you like to. And the best one to go to is Third Place Books up in Bothell. I did a reading there earlier this year. It feels like last year, but it's not. It's earlier this year. And so they still have books there. And there's such a lovely bookstore there. So to go in there and get one in person, always great.
Mm. You warn in the book that we will have negative reactions when we first start using this process. Why?
Well, I think that what's true is when you want to make a shift that's actually important and dramatic in some way, you are going to sift up all the parts of yourself who have stopped you from doing that's what you've always dreamed of doing. Before. So you sift them up, and what you get the opportunity to do is to repattern your brain through them. And you can do that by simply looking at that visual of where you want to go and taking little tiny steps to do something about it every day. But that's what happens. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to be an author for many years. As soon as I started to write, you know, all those things that my my professors had said to me, the woman who said, can you rewrite that poem one more time? You know, all these things came back and they sort of barrel at you and you have to just live with them for a while and know without a shadow of a doubt that this is what you're meant to do. This dream is yours to fulfill. And I don't say that in an airy-fairy way. I think that most people know really deep down inside what they've always wanted to do. And they're a little afraid to do it because maybe they're supporting kids or they are worried that what X, Y, or Z is going to happen. And so that's a very common response.
Right.
And you have to kind of walk yourself through it.
Right. And you do talk in the book. I was just trying to find this. Sometimes it's overwhelming when you're trying to make these changes, but the great thing about how your brain works is this. It only responds to the cues you provide. So we can actually trick it into responding differently.
That's right. You can reframe a situation. You can determine that you're going to have, as I did with the woman in the lobby, have a best case scenario outcome. You can do many things by simply, you know, your brain, this is the fun thing about it, is it can't differentiate between what's real, what you have experienced that we would call in reality, what you've dreamed about, what you saw on TV, or what you somebody else did. It thinks you've done all of that. So if it thinks that, then really project into that and say to your brain, I have done that. I have. I did do that when you saw that. You know, so show me how I did that. You know, use your brain to your advantage.
Right. You talk about this, too, because so many people look to other people for support and inspiration, and you know, which is all great. But you talk about your mother, losing your mother, and how it left a big hole in your fan base. You know, my mom was always my number one fan in whatever I did, whether it was, you know, moving house, moving to a new town, whatever. But you said the best way you could honor your mom was by becoming your biggest fan. And I think all of us could benefit by learning how to become our biggest fan. So how did you do that?
Well, you know, I think I still do that, try to do that on a daily basis, where I get up. You know, the weird thing is I'll look at myself in the mirror and say, you can, you will, you'll do it, whatever it is. I remind myself of things that I've done well. I try to, and I was thinking about this on the way in, this for me is the key. And I would say many people have shown me this before, is remember the things that you did well versus the things you didn't do well. Even if you go into an interview for some new job, or you go and you try to create a piece of art or some creative thing or some new business, you know, if you focus on the things that didn't go well, you can actually learn from them, yes, But if you continue to focus on those things, you'll pull yourself back into that state of consciousness. So being your own fan says, okay, look, if you could go out there on stage and be on Broadway in front of thousands of people, you can go out on stage in front of these people and do a good job if you like that.
Right.
Coach.
There's a quote at the end of the book from a colleague or a friend of yours and who told you when you were going out on stage once, be a brave little soldier. And I love that.
Yes, you have to really, gear up. Gear up.
Yeah.
And also, too, I think another thing that I talk about in the book is how the pyramids were created. And I just read another book about how they were created. So, but how did they make it level? You create in your world the water that will fill in and then use that as a level for yourself to know where you are. All of the things you know about yourself and people have told you that are positive and the proof that you've shown yourself both inwardly and outwardly become really the water that helps you rise to your level.
I love that. Well, we're going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back with you. My guest today wrote a book called Drawing Solutions, How Visual Goal Setting Will Change Your Life. I'm talking with Patty Dobrovolsky. And you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll be right back.
With Vicki St. Clair.
Women worldwide see beauty in their mothers, sisters, daughters, and friends. However, only 4% of those women see the same beauty in themselves. Hi, I'm Lisa Ling, and I've traveled the world for years and have witnessed firsthand the devastating effects of low self-esteem among women. We should all pledge to inspire the next generation to see their beauty as a source of confidence, not anxiety.
This message was brought to you by the Alliance for Women in Media and was made possible through the generous support of the Dove Movement for Self-Esteem. To learn more, visit DoveMovement.com.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
The words breast cancer can create a lightning bolt of fear and confusion. Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, the Mayo Clinic's Dr. Lynn Hartman helps us to navigate important issues. Vicki will also talk with Seattle writer Diane Mapes about what she calls her madcap adventure with breast cancer and what it's like to date following a double mastectomy. Tune in next week at noon Pacific. See conversationslive.net for more information.
Get a grip on life with Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And we're talking about change today, how to create change, how to cope with change, how to reach your potential. My guest is Seattle's Patty Dobrovolsky. She's an author, speaker, and change agent. And she is talking today about her new book, Drawing Solutions, How Visual Goal Setting Will Change Your Life. So you were just saying this took you 5 years to write.
Yeah, it did. It's interesting, and this I learned for those of you that really want to write a book out there. I went and took a workshop with a guy named Tom Bird down in Sedona. It was a very valuable workshop, and he showed me a very simple technique to get the book inside of you out. And I love that. And what also happened was, then my left side of my brain got in there and said, you really have to get a good editor to do that. So I hired somebody from New York to do the editing on it. And, that just took me down this 2-year road into some mountain pass. And, and then in the end, I came back to what I originally wrote and cleaned it up. And that's what the book is. So this is just my forewarning, remember, listen to thyself first.
Yes. And I love this book because you are, it's like you are talking. It's like you're there in the room talking with us, because I've seen your videos and everything. And I mean, you stay true to your voice, which I think is really important.
Thank you.
So I want to talk a bit about a lot of people get stuck at the starting post. And, you know, when I did my map, I did it just super quick. I was at a coffee shop. It was starting to rain. I thought, I'm not leaving until I've done this. And so I did it super quick and just got everything down. And then I had, the temptation to go back and redo it so it looked pretty. But it still spoke to me as it is. Where do most people get stuck when they're starting, and how do they get over that?
Well, I think the place that we get stuck is in trying to make change when we're not really committed to it. So that's one place. So you want to ask yourself, really, am I ready and prepared to make this change? Do I really want it, or am I just saying it? Because that is, you'll kind of derail yourself if you're not quite ready. And so you have to kind of turn up the heat on the left side of your map, the current state, the things that you really want to change, turn the heat up on them. If you want, play it out in your mind to see what would happen with your health if you continue to eat like that. You know, play it out if you continue to stay in the relationship that you're in, and it's 10 years later and you still feel the same way you do, but times 10. So I turn up the heat on that side. If I never wrote that book, what would I feel like, you know, later? And, oh, I'd have regrets about it, you know, like that. That's number one. So you want to turn up the heat on that side. And then you must, I think, tap into the place inside of you that knows that you deserve the things that you want, that you deserve them. So you have to dig deep for that. If that's buried under, you know, some kind of traumatic past, you've got to dig in there and find it, even if it's a little tiny seed. And the way that I find it is I treat life like a treasure map, you know. I treat it like it's an obstacle course I'm going to have to get through to get to the other side. And so once I make it a game, it's much easier for me to have more fun with it. So you want to pull up that imagination that you squashed from your past, if you are one of those people who did. Pull it up and play around with the idea and get yourself to play. Now, that's not really the hard part, because the hard part is, so it's easy to imagine and dream it for some people, most of us, if you can tap into that. But the hard piece is to really do that thing that says quit your job, right? And the way to do the thing that's hardest is break it down into little tiny steps, not a big old, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to go and do it tomorrow. Because you want to have some kind of little plan in place. It's much better. So you do one small thing, which is you look around and see what other people are doing. And then you maybe refresh your resume and like that.
Right, right. Now, as well, in addition to having the big picture map,
yes,
which looks at our whole life, you also recommend that there are times when a mini map can help us. And I definitely see that would work. Give us some examples of when we might want to use a mini map.
So let's say that you're in the middle of, I would say, in a big change of some kind. And so I'll give an example that I do in the book, which is I wanted to, when I turned 50, you know, I had like a midlife crisis, okay? Most people do. And then I wanted to do 50.
I hope that wasn't your first, because I've had about three.
I wanted to do 50 new things in my 50th year. And one of them was I wanted to ride a stage of the Tour de France, not with the racers, doping, no. Oh. I wanted to just ride it, you know, on my own. But I wasn't in great shape, so how was I going to do that? Somebody recommended I join a bike race team. So I did this, joined this bike race team, but that was way out of my league, really. And I had these super optimistic ideas of how I was going to win my very first race. And when I went out to do it, you know, I came in last, right? So I had to do a mini map to see, okay, this is where I am right now as a bike racer, and this is where I want to be, you know, even a month from today. And I do a mini map when I have mini goals that I want to see happen. And honestly, you know, I could bring in a stack of maps like this that you can repeatedly download off my website, you know, if you want one. And I just do them every time I would need to refresh my life.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I need to get a perspective on how I'm doing, I don't worry if what's on the right side of my map is the same as it was 2 months ago, because I have evolved and I trust myself enough to know that I'm going to continue to.
Yeah. I love this whole thing because I, you know, years and years ago, I storyboard a lot in my work. And I did a storyboard of my life. But I like this even better because it takes me from current reality to future reality.
And that's why we call it a snapshot of the big picture. And I say of the big picture of you. But you could use it for your business. I mean, I use it with corporate America all mm-hmm. the time. I show them, or at the Gates Foundation, I show them how to really, where are you now? Where do you want to be 1 year from today? What are the three boldest things we can do? It's very simple, not rocket science.
Right. You say that we need to, I haven't colored mine in. I just realized we have to color this in. It's because I couldn't find my crayons. why is it important to add color to our map?
Well, one thing, you know, the color impacts you. That's what we know from, Betty Edwards' book, Right Side of the Brain. She would say color has an impact on everything you do. But I also think, you know, you want to color that right side of your map, that desired future reality, so that it's so bright and bold that it just pulls you to it. And the more time you spend, like, dreaming about little pieces of your right side of your map and envisioning it as if it's happening right now and you're in that state, then what you're doing is programming that darn brain of yours that's where you're going. That's what you want to focus on. Pull like that stuff to me. And so the color creates this beautiful fax out to the universe, which begins to manifest in all these small ways. It manifests in the way that it's meant to. So I just want to make a correction there. You don't always see what's best for you. But what I know after a change is that what I thought was the change I should have gone into was I was better served by the change that did show up. But I still had to put something out there, because if you don't put anything out there, then you stay exactly where you are. And if you don't like where you are, then life will put out for you something else.
You've talked about that several times in the book, where you couldn't make a decision or you were hedging your bets and the universe stepped in and decided for you. You say in 20 years of doing this kind of work, we really do know what to do, even if we don't know the exact path to take. So why do so many of us get in our own way? How do we overcome self-defeating behaviors?
Well, that's a good question. And I would say, you know, everybody knows the tricks that you've used in the past to get yourself. So you're going to want to rely on those first. But then you want to stretch beyond what you know. And this idea that life can give you a solution, like, okay, so this is how the world works, and you know this. There is life is like a coin. There's a problem on one side, a solution on the other. The question is, how do I get to that solution? So you've got to do a couple of things. One is you can ask your brain to help you come up with a problem. And I do this technique often where I imagine inside myself, I shut my eyes, imagine inside my brain that there's a chalkboard or a whiteboard or a sketchbook, and I write the problem on it, and then I ask, what's the solution? And I let that come back.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm getting so engrossed, I'm losing track of time here. We just got that 2-minute signal there. So very quickly, I just want to ask you how we cope when others react to us. If you could just give me a very quick answer.
Very quickly, when people are going to have very odd reactions to whatever it is that you want to do. So be very careful to always trust yourself, and be careful who you share your dreams with, because not everybody's going to be on board. Mm. If you need them to be on board, it's important to share it. But if you do not, hold them dear to you until you feel your feet are firmly on the path.
I think that's great advice. And a final thought you'd like to just leave our listeners with today, Patty?
Well, I would just say, you know, if you can dream it, and you can draw it, and if you can draw it, you can make it real. It'll right. happen for you.
Right. And if you have access to a computer, as most of us do today, I would recommend you jump on there, check out Patty's website, upyourcreativegenius.com, and download her newsletter. You can sign up for the newsletter, download the template, and get drawing.
You can always like me on Facebook.
Like her on Facebook. And also check out the TEDx Rainier video, because she talks in there about how to get started. She gives you great examples all the way through. And the book, of course, is called Drawing Solutions, How Visual Goal Setting Will Change Your Life. My guest, Patty Dobrovolsky. Thank you so much for being with us. Really enjoyed it. And I want to thank you for being with us today. We are going to be back with an all-new live show next week. If you've got any questions on today's show or any feedback, please do get in touch with me. You can reach me at info@conversationslive.net. or at 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617. And thank you for being with us. We'll see you next week. Until then, live well, live strong.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.